Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our Lunch with Lou conference call. My name is Jesse Frayling. I am the Director of Retirement Plan Services here at AltFest Personal Wealth Management. Today, in addition to his economic outlook, Lou will be discussing a potential recession hangover, specific market sectors that are likely to benefit, and he will also be addressing the question of whether society has shifted permanently. In just a moment, our CEO, Lou Altfest, will join us on the call. After Lou's remarks, I will ask him a few selected questions that our clients have submitted. We expect today's call to last about 40 minutes. A recorded playback of this conference call will be available should you wish to listen again at a later time. And now it is my pleasure to present Lou Altfest.
Hi, welcome. How are you doing? Okay. People are working hard, answering your questions, making changes in portfolios. We are living through very interesting times. These are times that if you're young enough, you're going to be speaking to your grandchildren about. Andrew, my son, is already speaking to his son about it, even though his son is less than 6 months old. Let me go over what we will talk about. We spend a little time on COVID-19. We'll talk about the economy. We'll speak about corporate profits, stock prices. I know you're very interested in that. Your portfolios and changes in performance, sectors likely to benefit, but as Jesse mentioned, special observations, some surprises, answers to your questions, and let's get started. COVID. The COVID-19 vaccine is the long-term key. It's hopefully the vaccine is the rainbow at the end. I believe we will have a vaccine in our, or it's possible we won't have a vaccine. We'll have material progress in reducing the coronavirus effects. That will be announced within 1 year from now. That's my own assumption. However, this is not mine or our firm's specialty, and I will perhaps conservatively assume that it won't happen in that time span. And you may see that time span as itself not so conservative, but that's how I see it. One warning. Don't get yourself too worked up about favorable health results made before the election. Several of these vaccines may be influenced to be optimistic that the government is financing part of their production costs. Of course, it is possible that a vaccine could be found this year. But I want to just give you an example of what I'm saying. Moderna, one of the companies that's best known, in part because it has a good name to name something, may report preliminary favorable results. I have no inside information on that. Keep in mind, though, that when results, initially favorable results were announced, that the Moderna president sold some of his shares at the time of their original announcement of purchase. Great confidence in his company's products would argue against him doing so. And there are a lot of other companies that are doing the same thing. The economy. Well, what we can say is the economy isn't as bad as it looks. We believe it looks bad because we get to mostly think about the visible parts, like looking at downtown Manhattan, 50th Street being empty, 50th and 6th, Broadway being empty. We see retail not having much activity. Restaurants, leisure, travel, movie theaters, and our country's personal services. Major parts of our economy, and particularly those included in the large company stock market indicators like S&P 500, are not as affected by what you see. I'm not saying they're not affected. You saw some figures, or you will see, that were released today, and there are material drops in general. Our manufacturing is coming back, but the rate of progress is, after an initial spurt, is likely to slow or even stop for a time. And I'm going to, now I want to just discuss for a minute. And if you don't get this, it's okay, because it's full with numbers. But I want you to, if you can, stay with me on this. Be careful of numbers when looking at progress from the economic bottom. Numbers can lie. Isn't that a provocative statement? Say I tell you I can make 25% a year for you if you give me an extra $100,000. Don't worry about interrupt drops. I will give it to you for a 2 year. At the end of the 2 year period, I will have made 25% a year for you. In the first year, you decide you're going to give me the $100,000. In the first year, your investment declines 50% to $50,000. But remember, I said, don't worry about the interim. Now we get into the home stretch. Year two, your $50,000 climbs to $100,000. In year two, your money has doubled. It's climbed 100% from 50 to 100. Year one, you lost 50% or 50%. Year two, you gained 100%. You net 50% over the 2 years. Minus 50 plus 100 is 50%. Now, 50% over 2 years is 25% a year. You say, hey, Lou, I just have the same money I had at the beginning. I say, no, mathematically, you earn 25% a year. Why am I giving you this lecture? Because mathematics can be misleading. Mathematics is not correct when you have sharp increases or declines, just as if we've had a sharp decline in production in the second quarter. The increases in recovery will not be as great as the percentage that you, that will be released suggests. So just be aware of that. Okay. This, whatever the increase is reported, it will have been undercut by partial reclosings of the economy around the country. Partial. The strongest part of the economy may be home building. It is. The strongest part of the economy is home building. Also, food. Are you aware of that? Are you more interested in food? People are spending an above average amount in cooking and eating. Tailors letting out our clothes will be a beneficiary. Obviously, drugs will benefit. Everyone is fixated on drugs at this time. It is probably going to take a few years before we get back to our previous peak production. If the vaccine isn't discovered by year end, we may have a so-called recession hangover with weakness starting to get embedded. Corporate profits may take years to exceed the 2019 level. The biggest problem, though, is going to be unemployment. Bye-bye under 4% unemployment, which is considered the full employment level. you won't see that fully coming back for the foreseeable future. It's going to be a long time before we get back to full employment. But we will be making progress, as we did from the lows in previous recessions. Now let me talk to you for a minute about the Federal Reserve. Why do we spend so much time with the Federal Reserve? Willie Sutton, the famous bank robber, was asked why he spent so much time holding up banks. He said, because that's where the money is. The Federal Reserve controls our money. That's where a great deal of our money is. The Fed has created a decline in interest rates to near zero. After near zero rates, the Federal Reserve has pledged to keep rates flat for 2 years. However, I say they may not be able to fulfill that promise, particularly if inflation rises. They have put money into speculative bonds. This money has kept the stock market afloat. As people say, where else can I get a good return? Certainly not. You're not getting anything in high quality bonds. All right, let's go to the other side of government activities. U.S. government. The U.S. government has spent a lot on aid to the economy already. $3 trillion compared to $1 trillion 10 years ago. This is unprecedented money spent. More spending is coming, probably at least another $1 trillion to take effect before the election, and more after we vote. Republicans, whose image is being conservative, or like to believe their image is being conservative in spending, have no choice. If they defy Trump and don't vote for more aid, Trump will cut a deal with the Democrats and bring along some Republicans. I know, Trump said, no deal with Democrats. I don't believe it. Remember, keep your eye on the ball, the November election. The government is like a giant household. That's the way I like to look at it. It cannot spend and borrow more indefinitely, particularly when it borrows more than the economy grows in any year, as it's obviously doing now. The outcome can be raising taxes, inflation, or both. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later on. Stock market. What about the stock market? Why is the stock market so high? Valuations are high. I will give you some reasons. The market is saying that the coronavirus problem is on its way to being cured. Other reasons? Rates are so low that there's no place to go except for stocks, as I just discussed with you. People are looking for something to do. They are at home buying and trading stocks. They're actually sitting at home buying and trading stocks. Many are buying cheaper priced ones. For example, Ford, which is currently selling at $6.90, is the most popular one. Of course, buying based on cheap price is not logical. Just split the stock 2-for-1 and it's got even cheaper, so you should buy more of it. By splitting a stock, you do nothing except issue more shares. Going forward, if we discover a cure soon and spend like crazy thereafter to celebrate the end of COVID, the market can go up from here. If all we are doing is congratulating ourselves and not spending, the outlook isn't as favorable. The market is not cheap. We as a firm are not fully invested. Moreover, we believe in the sense of fully invested with, we're not fully invested with stocks that are just upside directed. Moreover, we believe international stocks will outperform domestic ones in the future. Right now, even stodgy Europe has turned up materially in production in the most recent period. From a position of having the same problem at the same time with the US concerning the coronavirus, Europe appears to have made much more progress in controlling the pandemic. Don't expect much from bonds except for a cushion should the market drop. It would help cushion the decline. The next major move in interest rates is up, which is a negative for bonds. Look for inflation down the road, but not like the 70s. The inflation I'm thinking of is 4 or 5%, still significant, but not runaway like the 70s. Perhaps versus 2% now, even less. A rise in inflation is a negative for stocks to begin with, but it is a positive over time. All that government borrowing is likely to make the dollar lose some luster and decline. It means our currency is going to decline, which would result in foreign investments rising in price relative to the U.S. and making it more expensive to buy your Toyota or whatever else you buy. Developing markets in Asia are doing better COVID-wise than in any other place in the world. And that's about 50% of our international holdings is in emerging markets with a heavy emphasis on the Far East. All right, what about AltFest performance? Our performance has been good, despite the fact that value has been out of favor, and not even including our own conservatism through alpha coefficient over the past 6 months, we have outperformed Morgan Stanley World, our benchmark, which is about 50% stock, and we have also outperformed the S&P 500. The AltFest outperformance is more meaningful when you compare us to our value benchmark, which has underperformed all year. So we've had good results, even though our style is out of favor. All right, we have a problem. Our hedges on our portfolio, which were so effective in the market decline, are too expensive now. We are fortunate that we have two portfolio managers, Mayuk and Sush Poddar, who are very knowledgeable in this area. Here are some reasons. Here's a reason why the hedges are so expensive, or I'll give you a few reasons. First of all, some people are expecting a decline in stock prices, and so have bid up the prices of hedges, which make them no longer attractive. Second, many advisors just slap on a hedged account, but let me show you one way that that can be a problem. The fund that has these hedges could have originally bought the hedge when the market was 20% lower than it is today. So the hedge then wouldn't kick in until the market declines by at least 20%. It went up 20. In other words, and would have to go down 20 and even more for those hedges to be effective. And that is not a good hedge to buy something that 20 to 30 only works down 20 to 30%. We have expended our alternative alpha portfolio to allow potentially quicker moves from stock to cash and are keeping more in cash. And additionally, recently, we have expanded our developing international positions by rebuying Brandeis Emerging Market Value Fund.
Thank you, Lou. And now we'll address a few questions that our listeners have sent in. The first one is, the stock market relies on future good news. If Joe Biden is elected president, would his economic policy of increased taxes for both corporations and individuals, more regulations, eliminating fossil fuels for energy, unattainable fuel mileage for autos, and eliminating jobs from traditional energy, once implemented, would it mean the loss of jobs in America and a huge blow to the equity markets? And also, would it mean an extreme loss of income for corporations and ultimately a loss to the stock market?
All right, I'm going to treat this as a whole. You have asked the question at the same time, supplied a part of the outcome. Yes, more spending by government taken by itself can leave less room for private entrepreneurial spending and reduced hiring of existing workers. But this has always been true. It dates back to the time when over 50% of the country was employed on farms. Today, things in our country, up to the coronavirus, while not stellar, were not bad. Fairly recently, U.S. growth led the developed world and did so for record years without a recession. At the present time, we are faced with a challenge by China, who is gaining rapidly on U.S. technologically. We need a broad-based method, much like what happened when Russia was first to the moon. We were successful then and can be in the future. It may be that we'll do that in part of a public-private partnership, which I believe we did with President Kennedy and the acceleration to the moon. What may not be given much weight in the challenge is the 50% decline in the number of public companies and greater share taken up by just a few companies in many industries. Our country is too concentrated. If there is no additional growth for the working class over the next 4 years, they've been the losers more recently. There may well be a younger, more modified socialist president sent to Washington. You could then have an even more divided country with no room for exercising U.S. leadership and competitiveness. The second part of the outcome then is continuing developing new activities and new jobs coming along with heightened competitiveness. I believe that that's going to happen.
Thank you, Lou. And I think that's a great point that you made about the concentration of public companies. The second question that we have here is, how do you view future trends in this country?
Technology overall will continue to grow and make products cheaper. The desire to replace people with machinery will bring more money into the technology area. If Biden is elected along with a Democratic Congress, a Democratic president will undertake a revitalization program, roads, buildings, bridges, and re-education for the unemployed and others may be started. This is a good time to do that now because it has two effects. The time to do spending is when the market is weak. The time to do spending and cutting taxes isn't when the economy is pretty strong, as we did when we cut taxes at that time. So that's part of the deficit problem that we have now. So yes, a dollar of government spending, I know some of you can say this, may only produce 70 cents of benefit. The other 30 cents disappears. But that still can make a difference. Lower growth and international trade in the future. Lower growth in international trade. More buy your own country's goods will become more popular worldwide. However, international trade will continue to grow, just not at the rates that we have been growing at. If there is no full elimination of the COVID-19 problem and people remain fearful, look for them to move away from population centers and into houses that have greater space. And I'll speak a little more about that from one of the questions. Working from home and online buying will accelerate, although from 1 year ago's level, not from now. In other words, there will be a secular step up. What interests me is, will shopping, especially fashion shopping, said to be America's favorite pastime, not tennis, not, swimming, but shopping, will that change altogether? Here, I'm going to throw that question open to my clients. You tell me.
Thank you, Lou. Certainly some interesting observations there on potential future trends. What about buying a home in the current environment?
It can be a good idea. Buying a home that is either selling at a discount over the 6 months prior or because of worries or having participated in the past 10 years can make sense, any of those cases. A home is generally less likely to move in line with the stock market. And inflation down the road can be a benefit, particularly with today's low mortgage rate. Both Connecticut and deep New Jersey qualify and can be appealing. I have a home in Connecticut in a small town whose public elementary school, which is so small, has 19 new enrollments for the fall. You know where they came from.
Wow, very good point, Lou. And given the following scenarios, how do you think the stock market will react? And I'll list them out here. Scenario one, Trump is reelected. Scenario two, Biden wins. Scenario three, Trump refuses to accept a loss and declares a national emergency. And then finally, scenario four, COVID continues to cause economic disruption well into 2021. And in the context of this question, the submitter of this question would, of course, love to hear your thoughts, but more specifically, how the AltFest team would respond with our client's portfolio. So I'll reiterate scenario one, Trump is reelected.
Okay, Trump wins. Trump is reelected. Nothing happens. It's just more of the same. Elements of business will rejoice. Scenario two, Biden wins. There will be a higher market psychological rush among Democrats, even quietly among some Republicans. One Republican said recently, even some of his base is tired of government by tweets and up and down opinions. But here's the provocative question. Trump refuses to accept a loss. First of all, I want to emphasize, I do not think he will do this. I don't, even if he says he will do it, I do not think he will do this. Should it happen, through various means, Trump would be deposed. A signal to Trump about military loyalty came when he employed government troops in Washington, D.C. recently. Several of the military reminded him indirectly that they would back the Constitution over the president. Years ago, when Trump was underwater with purchases of a Boston shuttle and a Plaza Hotel, both bought at ridiculous prices. They were prestige items, not ones for money, profit. Bankruptcy-like business seclusion was forced on him, including a yearly salary. Seclusion could again be introduced, market declines, reflecting his attempt to do what we talked about, would open up some interesting purchases for us at that time. And I'm just going to mention parenthetically, because some of you may not be aware of this, nor will today's message of a hope for postponement of the election ever take place. All right, the last item here is COVID-19, and COVID-19 could, if it extended out, is going to have negative consequences. Some aid will continue, the recession would deepen, life would continue to go on with an extended subnormal period. In that circumstance, the market would face headwinds.
Certainly. And what is the short, medium, and long-term market outlook for our firm? As a couple of follow-up questions to that, how do annuities and or municipal bonds figure into the mix? What effect will the election have on these outlooks? And are there any anticipated tax changes?
Outlook for the market. Short-term, volatile. Intermediate term, the market is high. Medium term could be affected with reduced stock market growth versus the past 10 years. Long term, favorable outlook based on technological progress and continued American ingenuity. Annuities are not a good investment. You would be looking at low interest rates that are likely to rise over time, while those of your annuity would not. Bad investment. Municipals, you can buy short-term ones. They make sense. Elections outcome on outlooks. I will punt on outcome now, and we'll be calculating this prior to the election when more is known. Anticipated tax changes. Under Biden, corporate taxes will rise. They'll go partially back to where they started from when we reduced corporate taxes. By the way, many of these changes are not going to happen in year one taxes. They'll wait until the economy picks up significant momentum before raising taxes. Otherwise, it'd be suicidal. The Japanese did something that was suicidal in the early 1990s by raising taxes that kicked them right back into a recession. Income taxes for more affluent people will rise. Possibly a value-added tax down the road. Not right away. Under Trump, perhaps no tax rise, just greater inflation and continued decline in the value of the dollar.
Thank you, Lou. Next question is, there seems to be several mutual funds that have a 1-star rating from Morningstar. Why do you believe these funds are in the best interests of your clients? It seems ETFs receive more attention.
We're value-oriented players. We could be contrarian at certain times. Sometimes we deliberately pick 1-star funds which have performed badly. An example of an investment that we made fairly recently after the sharp decline, its sharp decline, is oil, which is doing well and on its way, I believe, to doing even better. All are the principal number of of 1-star funds are in the international arena. They are all value-oriented funds. Brandis Emerging Market, which I discussed with you before, was sold and then bought back. It was bought, sold at the right time and bought back. And that has had a favorable record through much of its existence. Morris Worldwide Value is a special situation that has been hurt by its position in oil. Oakmark International has a distinction of being, I forget what it was, it's a one-star fund whose head was considered either Portfolio Manager of the Year or International Manager of the Decade. To show you what focus on short-term performance can mean. Going forward, we expect value to outperform and all three to do well. Oakmark has already moved up strongly in the most recent period. We are believers of other mutual fund managers who are smart and our own firm adding value in selection of managers as well as investing in our own stocks. ETFs, as to continue with your question, ETFs generally don't have active management. Mutual funds have a much larger investment base, but ETFs are growing in popularity. We use ETFs when they make sense for us, and we have some and do so from time to time.
That's a great point, Lou, and I think that shows some great insight into our investment process. So thank you again for that answer. What about gold and silver? What are they telling us?
This question was repackaged at the last minute by somebody else, so I'm putting them together. Gold and silver are saying people are nervous about the outlook. The world believes that deficit spending and the virus are two negatives that may not even ever have a cure. These are people who are negative. Certainly, the fact that we're spending a lot of money is not good. Remember, go back to my original point about that we have the U.S. is a big household. The household is spending too much money. They better rectify it because inflation is just not a good thing. It hurts various people in the economy, like the retired. It's best that we get our house back in order. Not that I disagree with the spending that we had to make up to date, but we have to balance our household just like others, like individuals. The U.S. has to balance its household. It is believed that gold and its junior partner silver will hold its value going forward. That's why people are buying it. Gold's weakness is that it has no income and has already moved up. Nonetheless, gold has a relevance going forward.
That's a great synopsis, Lou. Thank you very much. The next question is in regards to real estate investments and specifically the AFFH housing policy, its potential ramifications on the real estate market if Biden is elected. And just to confirm for everyone listening, AFFH stands for Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing. And so once again, the question being the potential ramifications on the real estate market of that policy if Biden is elected.
This AFFH, established under President Johnson, is intended to overcome discrimination in neighborhoods in the suburbs. Trump did away with it. President Biden could, as he's indicated, very well reestablish it. There could be two effects. Very exclusive neighborhoods in the suburbs could become less exclusive because more houses that are cheaper could be built on the same block and therefore have their housing prices affected. On the other hand, the greater density could lead to a greater population inflow, which could raise prices. For example, Millennials seem to like smaller units and easy access communities, which could intensify their approach to get out, could intensify given COVID-19 considerations. I suspect any impact will be influenced by local laws maintaining some restrictions. Suburbia will remain suburbia. The net effect should not be material.
Great. And thank you again, Lou, for your last response. There, a great point about millennials as well. Thank you again to Lou and to everyone who attended this call for listening and for sending us your questions. And just as a reminder, in case you join today's call later, if you would like to pass Lou's remarks along to a friend, we will be posting a replay of the call on our website, and we'll send you an email once this replay is available. And of course, if you have more personal questions, as always, please feel free to contact one of the members of your wealth management team or call our office directly at 212-406-0850. Once again, that's 212-406-0850. Once again, thank you for joining Lunch with Lou, and have a nice rest of the day.